Well, it's lovely to see you all. We were a little down last Sunday. Some people were concerned about the cyclone and the water on the roads, but we had a great time anyway. And for those of you who've come back from wherever, overseas, around Australia, been on holidays, had a good time, welcome home. We're glad you're here. May you really feel the love as we go forward this year in this church, and you're going to be a part of that. Could I have these lights down just a little bit here? People don't need to really look at me too much, do they? Okay. Well, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to have a seven-day fast. We were going to make it 14 days. We've pulled it back to 7 days. We really wanted people to engage and to maybe lift the intensity of that time as well, which means you might do extra things in the fast. But I really encourage as many people as possible, get involved in this fast that we're planning. It's important for our church and going ahead and what we're trying to do. It's important for your own life. There's two kinds of fast. There's one that God calls, and he wants to reveal things to us because of that fast. The second one is we choose to do it as an act of sacrifice unto the Lord, that we are bringing our hearts to him and saying, Lord, we're seeking you, we're looking for more, we're believing for more. And that's going to be the occasion of the fast in 2 weeks' time. So it'll go from the 1st to the 8th of February, which is about 8 days, but you know, you can vary it in there. And then during that time, we're going to have prayer meetings every night from the Sunday to the Sunday. Now, it'll be a one-hour prayer meeting. I'm not expecting everybody to be in every prayer meeting, but you may determine you want to fast the evening meal. Well, you can come along and pray during that time, probably be from 6 p.m. till 7 p.m. Let's do something positive this year going forward in God. God's got good things in place for us. But sometimes he says, I need you to set your heart and faith before me so I can bring that out and to you. Okay? Amen. God is good, and he's such a loving God. Over this month of January and possibly into February, a number of churches will have Vision Sunday. And we have done Vision Sundays as well, but I'm hoping that most Sundays I bring you vision of some sort that we're trying to achieve in our church, and so that I've never quite said, this is the Sunday and this will be just for vision, because I think vision is progressive. And while I was thinking about this, I just felt the Spirit of God quicken something to me that don't make it Vision Sunday, make it Revelation Sunday. Because I see that God is wanting to bring revelation to people's lives in increasing measure. That he will speak into your life, that he will intervene in your life in some way that will bring his revelation. We need that, because out of that is what flows our faith and our trust in God. So keep your antenna up, keep your expectation high that God is going to bring revelation to you. Even starting today, you can leave this place with a sense of revelation in your spirit and go forth. But I'm going to believe throughout this year that revelation will flow. Why do I say that? Because God wants to bring it. It's not, we don't come and fast and say, God, I'm going to afflict myself so that you reveal to me. We fast to show God we love him. We fast to show God we're seeking you. But God wants to bring it to us. Let our hearts be open. Let us be expecting, and let us receive what he brings. And with that, let me just share some thoughts with you about this year. When I was a teenager, we used to take holidays in Sydney. We'd go down south from Sydney to a place called Barrel, and on the way to there, we had to go through an area called Camden. And in those days, there wasn't just the high-speed highway down there. I think the M7 runs straight down there, I think. I haven't been there for a few years. And as we went through the hills, and you'd wind around the hills to get there, and you'd come around this particular bend before the road curved and went back up over the hill, there was a tree. It was a big fig tree. And in front of the fig tree, there was a sign. And on the sign, it says, while I live, I'll grow. And it was sponsored by a company that owned that land and owned that tree called Anthony Hortons. And Anthony Hortons was a store chain, or a store in Sydney, a big store, like David Jones and Myers and other stores like that, that operated. And that was their motto, while we live, we're going to grow. And they sought to do that. They expanded out to other store places. Sadly, 60 years ago, Anthony Hortons closed their doors for the last time. And so they stop growing and unfortunately they stop living. But I want us to understand that while we live, we have to grow. You can't in your Christian life cruise along. You have to determine to grow. That's God's desire for you. That's what he calls us to do because he has plans beyond this life that he's working into our lives here at this time. And so your motto should be, while I live, I'm going to grow as a Christian. I'm going to grow spiritually. I'm going to grow in my relationship with God. And through that growth, we please God. We fulfill his will for our lives. And so that's part of the purpose, part of what I want to share this morning. Last year, I remember when Pastor Tim Spark was preaching on the first Sunday of the year, I was sitting on the seat and God said that this would be a year of divine encounter. And I shared that on that Sunday morning and I spoke about it during the year. And indeed, we did that. We spent special time of seeking God for divine encounter. I encouraged that on people's lives. And I trust that last year you did have some divine encounters with the Lord, special encounters. So towards the end of last year, I'm thinking, Lord, what about next year in 2026? And I feel what he wants for this year is divine interventions. Now, you may recall I spoke about miracles some, I don't know, month, 2 months ago. But I see that God wants to intervene in the affairs of man, in the affairs of our lives, that he wants to come and bring things to us. And, of course, miracles is what we talk about as divine intervention because a miracle is something that comes from the supernatural to the natural, from the spiritual to our lives in a general sense, physical, mental, whatever else it might be. Soul touching us, that's the divine intervention. And without talking about where the world's going at the moment, I think you'd say that's pretty awful out there in the world. We need God's divine intervention. We need him in our life. We need him in our church. We need him in our world because the enemy is ramping up his attacks and his great deception that's coming on the world. And if we don't have the divine interventions, then we're going to get caught up in the great deception that the enemy brings. And that's why the scripture says that in the last days, many are falling away. And I don't want that to be true of you. I want you to hear the truth preached in this church and I want you to walk in that truth. And also want God to divinely intervene in your life. In other words, bring miracles. And remember I said, when I talk of miracles, people often just think healings, but that's much more than that. Anytime something from the supernatural touches the natural, that's a miracle. And so keep believing for God to flow in miracles. Don't just limit it to healings. I want to see healings. I'm believing for that. I'm trusting God for that. But there's more that God wants to bring. Anytime he speaks into your life, that's a divine intervention. And in fact, that is a miracle because the Almighty God in the supernatural is speaking to you in the natural being, in your natural life. Of course, he speaks into our spirit, which is supernatural. I understand that. Okay? Hope you get what I'm trying to say here in speaking. So I'm believing for divine intervention in your life. I'm believing for this church that God will reveal his will going forth because we need to grow and grow spiritually. And Christian life requires that continual growth or it begins to stagnate. And that's true for individual Christians and it's true for churches. So let's talk about the church for a moment. As a church, we have a mission statement and that says to love God with everything, heart, mind, soul, being, strength, whatever. Love God. That's what Jesus said. And then he said, I want you to love your neighbour as yourself. And he laid it on the line. He said, this is what it's about. And I just want to say to you this morning, please note, love is a choice. You choose to love. If you love because you feel it, well, then you can lose the feeling and you can lose the love. And so when we bring it to marital relationships, we have to choose to love. It's an ongoing thing. You know, you get married one day, but in 20, 30 years' time, it's a little bit different to the day you got married. You have to keep choosing to love to walk through that. And that's part of what, well, we understand, of course, God chooses to love. Because he loves all sorts of people. Let me ask you this question. Do you think God loves those people, that father and son who committed the tragedy, that dreadful thing that happened in Bondi? It's not a trick question. I happen to believe God loves them. God hates what they did. And sadly, I think the father died. It's not sad that he died, but it's sad that he's now dead and gone to hell, I believe. I don't believe he's gone to heaven, but that's God's judgment, not mine. I'm not going to buy into that. What I'm trying to say is God chooses to love, and he loves the unlovely. Well, he loved me, and I was unlovely, and I think some of you fit into that category as well. We are. God loves us. Isn't that a good thing? Well, three of you, tremendous. We're getting there. Stick around. So love's a choice. We love God, and we express this by worship. We express it by praise, by service, by sacrifice, and by seeking his presence in our lives. And that's one of the reasons that we set our church to be a worshiping church, to release the presence so that people will feel the love of God, that something will get into their hearts, into their beings, and so that God loves them, but the love can flow through them as well. So our first and foremost responsibility is towards God, to seek his presence, to seek his pleasure, and to seek his will in our lives so that we can fulfill it. And when we choose then to love God, we will see the flow of God's intent within us. And so we also choose to love people. And when we love people, we want the best for them. We want to love them. We want to encourage them. We want to see them drawn unto the Lord. We want to see them go to heaven. And you think, well, how can I love people? I mean, when we think of the awful things that happen and some of the people involved with it, we think, I could never love that person. But you see, Jesus said, you've got to love them. He said, you've got to love your enemy. And therefore, that's the challenge for us. And it's not so much because the enemy needs our love. It's because Jesus is working something in us that love has to be expressed. And when expressed in the sense of I would choose to love that person, we may not get the chance to minister to them in love, but we love them. And love is a powerful thing. And that's why God has set for the church to be a place of love and for that love to expand out and reach other people so that our community walks in love. How do we love? Romans 5 verse 5 says hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We've received great love from God into our lives. To say that you can't love your enemy, to say that you can't love people, means you're denying what the Holy Spirit has brought into your life. I can love because the Holy Spirit has brought God's love into me. And in other words, I don't have to love with my human love. I draw on the supernatural love that God has placed in my heart. And love's important. Please keep that in mind. So, as a church, we need to be a loving people. Not just those we know, but beyond those we know. So, a bit to those we don't know. And I want this to be a loving church. A place where people genuinely love people. I want people to experience that when they come here, whether they're visiting, looking for a church, or a regular member of this church. Be a loving person. Reach out to people. Show them that you care. Show them that you have a heart for them. Jesus, often it says in the scripture, when there was a need, in somewhat a healing need, it said he had compassion and he reached out to them. Compassion is greater than empathy. Empathy says, look, I just feel your pain. I'm here to sit with you through this pain. Compassion says, I understand what you're going through and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to minister to you in some way, and that may be praying for them to be healed, praying for pain to be relieved, praying for whatever's affecting their little heart in some way to be changed and to be brought forward. So compassion is a stronger man. And real compassion comes out of a heart of love. Or should come out of a heart of love, shouldn't it? So when we evidence a heart of love for people, we're showing God's greatest characteristic, which is love. God is love. That's what John said to us in his epistle. He said, God is love. And so if we're going to get like Jesus, then we've got to have a heart of love too. And I believe that we can create a culture in our church which can affect our city. I've had the opportunity to visit Bethel in Reading, USA, in the last three times in the last year. And one thing that's always impacted me about that church is the heart of love for people. On Saturday mornings, they have the healing room. And they pray for people to be healed. But it's much more than that. I have never felt the intensity of God's presence like I did in that room on a Saturday morning. And they worship, and they reach out in healing for people. There was a family that came in with us with this child in their arms, a little, 2-year-old, was it, darling? 2 years of age, completely non-responsive. Just, I don't want to say a vegetable, that doesn't sound right, but that's where the child was. And your heart just goes out to parents like that. That's a great area of need and suffering. The church puts this on for the community, that they might be healed. And a lot of people come in there. I heard the story, Bill Johnson told the story, or Chris Vallotton, I think, told the story of how a guy was coming back to the US and he arrived at customs and the guy said, "What do you do?" He said, I'm a minister. I'm part of a church at Bethel in Reading. And the guy, and these are, going through US customs isn't one of the fun experiences. Australian customs are marginally better. They make you feel like a criminal coming in. I don't know how you got through, Ben. You must have smiled and been nice. You had Lisa with you. That's why you got through. I don't know. That's how you got in. And so this customs officer said to him, I had a friend had stage 4 cancer. And he went up to that church there from wherever down south in California and he got healed. And he said to the minister, "Welcome home." See, they do powerful things. And Bethel has reached into their community with volunteering. So when Chuck's there, they send him out on volunteer work. He's working with the council. And, they're shoveling gravel and doing just plain jobs like that. And that's a good thing. It impacts a community. Now, I don't know where we're going to go. I'd love to think we could help too. But I want to impact this community of Mackay with a culture that shows we love them. We care, we're concerned, we do pray for Mackay, but that's not always evident to people there. Are you hear what I'm trying to say this morning, what it's about? I was talking to Pastor Craig Mirison over Christmas. He was visiting with his family. By the way, I just need to extend sympathies to Trevor and Catherine and Alison. God bless you. Lost their husband and father, Alan, on Christmas Day, and this is the first time they've been in church, so we extend our sympathy to you guys. May God give you a great sense of his presence and help you through this as you go forward. Pastor Craig was here over that break and he said to me, I was in a church and he told me the name of the church and I won't mention it, a well-known church, a good church, very good church. He said, I stood in the foyer area and he said, no one spoke to me, not one person. Can I just say this? Don't let that happen here. If you see somebody standing on their own, why don't you go and talk to them? At least say, hello, welcome. It's great to see you. I want people who visit here to go away and say, I just wanted some quiet time on my own, but everybody kept talking to me. That's what I want to hear. To say, I appreciated the love people showed me. That's what we've got to be about. That's what the kingdom of God is about. It starts in love. God so loved that he gave Jesus Christ as our Savior. We've got to do that. Let me talk about personal growth for a moment. Considering your personal growth, if you love yourself, you'll grow as a Christian and your growth will impact other people because you love them too. So I'm just going to give 3 reasons on how to do that. First is loving God and loving people. We've already talked about that. The second is discipleship. We are lifelong disciples. This month of January is my 52nd Christian birthday. And all through those 52 years, I've been a disciple. And I am still a disciple. And I will remain a disciple until I leave, whatever that looks like, by death or by rapture. I'm still a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's important we don't lose that because a disciple means becoming like Jesus. We don't seek to become like the apostles, as great as they were, or other great leaders of God. We should take examples from them and say, yes, I want to see that working in my life. But ultimately, it's Jesus we've got to become like. He's what we're transformed to. Let's look at a couple of scriptures in Philippians 1:6. The scripture says to us there, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Right. Who began a good work, past tense, will carry it on, future, present and future tense, and into completion until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the return of Christ, or until we are taken away to heaven. And then another scripture that we read is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation here. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Let me just stop there for a moment. The veil refers to what was on Moses' face. He went up into the presence of God. He came down. The glory of God shone all over him, particularly on his face there. And so they put a cover over his face. The people couldn't stand to look at the glory. Can I just say to you, we should let the glory come into our lives. Don't cover yourself from the glory. Don't hide from the glory, because that means you need something needs to change in you. But the glory reflects God, and it reflects his love, and it reflects his desire for you. We need the glory and we want the glory. We pray for it in our church that God will bring that. But let me say that as we walk in those things, or let me continue that scripture there. Second part says, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So what happens? We're born again, Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. We now have a relationship with God that's not hidden by a veil. We see, and the Holy Spirit's working to make us. When we talk about the image of Christ, we're talking about character. So the Holy Spirit is seeking to make us the same character as Jesus. Now that's a hard and long work in my life, in your life, perhaps. Why? Because I'm me, I'm human. I'm stubborn, maybe. Don't say yes. Slow to change, but I want to change. I want to be like Jesus. And I found myself at times just saying, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry that I've been so hard to work with over all these years. I pray that you'll continue that good work till Jesus comes, that you will change me so I can be more like him. It's important, hear me guys, because what you transform to here is what you take there. We don't suddenly, I know there will be changes as we go from here to there, whether it's rapture or death, but our character is what we take with us. It's what's developed in our life. It's what we've become. And it matters, because it depends then on what we will do for the Lord throughout eternity. We're not all just sitting around in eternity in the New Jerusalem. God has plans, and he's preparing you now and working in your life now to make you what he wants you to be, so he can give you what he wants to give you, whether it's to rule cities, whether it's to do a whole lot of things for him. But we're going to be changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord, okay? Then, so we're discipled by the Holy Spirit for character transformation. But I want to tell you, we need to be intentional about our discipleship. And we need to say, Holy Spirit, I want change, and I want to be a disciple of Jesus. Show me how that can be. Show me what I can do. Show me whom I'm to relate to, so that you can work within me as we are developed as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has plans. Let me tell you this, we're harbingers of God's divine interventions because of our faith and becoming more Christ-like. Let's go to a scripture in Mark 16. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What do all those things mean? They will cast out demons. I'm sure we believe that. That's the authority that Jesus gives us. They'll speak with new tongues. That's the transformational. When we speak in tongues, we build ourselves up spiritually. We also receive divine revelations from God. As we take up serpents, that doesn't mean picking up snakes and playing with them. Though there are some churches in Texas, I believe, that do that. That's a sign of how holy you are, is how you handle the rattlesnake. And if it doesn't bite you, I guess you're good. If it does bite you, I don't know what. They bury you, I suppose, and we get over it. But I'm not suggesting we do that, folks. I'm not bringing... Who wants me to bring snakes in? I see those hands. Okay. No, I don't like snakes either. Thank you. Take up snakes, and if they drink any deadly thing, that's the protection that God gives us. And so I'm not going to drink poison to find out whether God's going to save me, unless God tells me to, but if it happens, well, I trust God for that. But it's a process of protection. And then they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's the release of the faith we have and God's love working through us to other people. That's part of the process in our discipleship as we walk on with Him. So God wants to express Himself through you. He's not sending angels to do the job that we have to do. He wants to operate through you guys. Hear me. And you need to take that on board and say, hey, I'm here, Lord. I'm here. You send me. Use me. And as we do that, as He's expressed through us, then people are going to be restored. Miracles are going to touch their lives. I've told you the greatest miracle is not somebody being raised from the dead, it's somebody being born again. That's the greatest miracle. And so any seed we sow that produces that miracle releases God's divine intervention. You've seen a miracle happen in that. The third thing is connection and relationship. God designed human beings for connection. And when we don't have connection and culture that shows that, we become lonely and depressed, and the way of the world is division and separation. That's the enemy's job. He's out there to divide people, to separate them, to cause them to hate their lives and sadly cause them maybe to take their lives. But one of the great things that have happened to us is screens. You're all too young to remember, but TV came out around 60 years ago, 70 years ago, sorry, 70 years ago. So, you know, if you were alive then, you would just be a baby now. You would have been a baby then. You wouldn't have remembered it. Do you know, that was the start of taking away from the family. Because what happened, TV was on. Instead of people hanging around in the neighbourhood or having a cheese and a wine with a neighbour or a chat over the back fence, they now had programs to watch that started in the afternoon and ran to early evening or late evening. And so people chose to watch television there. And even it went further than that, that people, instead of sitting around the dinner table, which they'd done in the past, they now sat in front of the TV to watch their program. Why? Because they couldn't see it repeated like we can. We can get it on, we can record it, we can back view it, we can do all sorts of things to see it. So we're not locked in maybe to time like it was when TV came out. And so people would gather around the TV. They even invented TV dinners because a particular organisation had bought tons of turkeys for Thanksgiving and couldn't sell them. And they're sitting in this train full of, frozen cars they were, but all the turkeys, tons, hundreds of thousands of turkeys. And some bright guy got the idea, why don't we sell them and package them as a TV dinner so people can watch their TV while they're eating? And so people started sitting in front of TV and eating their dinner. You even bought TV tables, which were these fold-up trays that you'd sit with and you'd eat that. I remember doing it. I'm sure some of you do too. And we'd sit once again, away from the table. No dinner conversation happening. How much has that travelled? Now we're in, obviously screens are everywhere. Our phones, our watches, our televisions, whatever. It's all there for us. And if we're not careful, that's going to keep stealing from us the connection. I want to say this. Parents, no mobiles at the table. Well, they've got to be face down. No checking texts. No listening to, looking at social media, whatever it might be. Come on, hear me. It's important. It's important. It doesn't have to be ours. But you have a time and you make the family sit around the table. That's the connection. See, if we don't have connection at home, we're probably not going to bring connection to church and community when we need to. We need to be a connected people. It's part of what is required. It's psychologically healthy for us to be connected. And I'm guessing, I don't know, I'm not a psychologist, a psychiatrist, anything like that, but I'm guessing a lot of the problems that exist in society today is because there's no connection. There's no family. There's no sense of belonging. We've got to change that. If it doesn't start in the church, it's not going to happen in the community. So I'm encouraging you, well, be a part of that. Get a heart for that. Say, I'm going to be there. We're a disrupted community. The church has the answer. And we can create a culture of love and relationship, and that involves you. We can bring the blessing of God, not only by our church, not only in our church, but in our city. Can we do that? We should have a heart for that. We're here to change a city. God's planted us here. It's not just about let's meet on Sunday, sing a few songs, hear a word, have a coffee, and go home. It's about being changed by the Spirit of God. That goes on all week, but here you're being challenged to change, that we can become a community with love. So let me just recap this morning. Let revelation become real. Expect revelation from God in your life. A church only grows if its people grow. We can grow in numbers, and that's what a lot of churches think about is church growth. I think it has to start with the spiritual growth of people. And when that happens, churches will grow. They'll grow naturally because people have a heart for other people. Jesus didn't give us a suggestion. He gave us a command. Love God, love people, love yourself. And we're going to be intentional about discipleship to become like Jesus and operate by love to build connection and relationship. And in this environment, believe God for divine interventions. Whatever that might look like, that God can move by His Spirit amongst us. So, God wants to bring it. Are we going to be involved in it? I have this question for you. Can we be a church with a heart? A real heart. Heart of love. Heart of care. Heart of compassion. A heart where God can move and do things in the lives of people. And that will only happen if we really want it to happen and our hearts are for it. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. It is wonderful to see you. Why don't you smile? Because God loves you so much. He's got some great ideas for you. Great intention for your lives. You can afford to smile. Doesn't matter how much it rains. Doesn't matter how much humidity is out there. Doesn't matter if we don't have air conditioning. No, I'll take that away. We do need air conditioning, don't we? Thank God for air conditioning. You know, when we have to do a gratitude chart every day, air conditioning is always mentioned there because we love it. We feel good in it, don't we? Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning, so conscious of your love for people. So conscious today, Lord, of you just flowing into their hearts with that overwhelming love. Love beyond understanding. Love beyond comparison. Love that we never earned or ever deserved. Lord, it's the love that you choose. How can we ever question that? How can we ever think, Lord, you don't love us? That's the lie the enemy speaks. But I pray, Father, in this church, if we talk about a Revelation Sunday, may this day just be filled with love. May people go with a sense that, Lord, you love them so much that we can embrace this love and this love would flow through us. And as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to make us like Jesus, that we will have hearts of compassion and care, that we'll reach out to others and love them, that they might experience what we do. Oh God, oh God, may this church have a heart of love, a heart that says we care about people, that we might embrace all that you are and become that, not only individually, but as a church. Work in this place, Lord. May this church overflow into the community. May the culture that you would build here be a culture that is workable in our community, that people's lives might be touched and transformed. Because, Father, I say, let your kingdom come into Mackay. I'm praying your will be done here, but let your kingdom come in a mighty measure, that Jesus be exalted and loved. I thank you, our God. Rest upon each of us with a spirit of love, revelation, and hope in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Apuli.
I love to hear the sound of the Savior's robe as he walks into the room where people pray, where we hear worship, he hears faith.
Singing, But in this vision, the hand of God was coming down on our church, this huge hand stretching right across our congregation here. As the hand of the God came upon people, and there became the flow of life, of transformation, of revelation into the lives of people and the hearts of people. And so, oh God, we open our hearts to receive all that you would bring. God, I just thank you for that hand that you would touch us with this day, working in the lives of people. Here we are, oh God, here this church is. Use us, send us, touch us. Lord, let us arise as the church of Almighty God. I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each person here this morning. Let your life flow in them, through them. That your love will just overflow. I thank you, God, for the almighty blessings that you shed on each of us as we stand here at the beginning of 2026, believing for this year to be a great year in you, Lord. We don't know exactly everything that's going to happen around the world, but we have a confidence. We know you're in charge and we're with you. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Be blessed. Go forth in the blessing of God. Live in the blessing. Enjoy the blessing. And why don't you enjoy a cup of coffee before you leave? Share some love and connection with people. God bless you.